Anyway, let's we'll try keeping the potluck dinners not tomorrow, but we'll do it next month and see how it goes. See if everybody wants to keep that, because I got to thinking about it later and I thought, well, there's really not a reason to stop that with stopping the Bible study on Sunday mornings with breakfast. I think you'd have time to do whatever you're going to do maybe on Saturdays, and then even Sunday mornings you've got to 11 o'clock to come in for service. So anyway, I just thought I'd mention that. And so Brother Sister Bryant got a hold of me and let me know that Brother Bryant wasn't feeling good, and they left early from the anniversary celebration, and she had to get him home because he wasn't feeling good. So we miss them tonight, but anyway, that's where they're at. All right, God bless you. Let's just reach out and touch the Lord here tonight. All right.
Well, someone's going to make it. Right? It might as well be us. And a few others. Lots of others. However many the Lord would call. Said he adds to the church daily such as should be saved. So you're here tonight because you should be saved. Right? We all need to be saved. We need to be saved from ourselves. Saved from this world. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And we have a struggle. There's no doubt, you know, it's real. Somebody said the struggle is real. And it doesn't seem to matter how old you are. Whether you're young or elderly or in between, the struggle is real. And our faith tonight is in the Lord above. And we know that He will make a way for us, sometimes in spite of ourselves. You know, even when we don't deserve it, we know that He'll make a way for us because He has a plan. And see, that's the thing about, you know, the old saying is, God's workmen pass, but His work must go on. And we know that God has a plan of salvation for the Gentile people. And so He's going to have a saved group of people. He's going to make sure that He has a bride. And He's going to make sure that there's people that fill the new earth. He has a plan and process. And He's going to fulfill His plan. The promises of God are yea and amen. And just like He had a plan for Israel, whenever He wanted them out of Egypt, and Moses told him, he said, "Who should I say sent me?" He said, "Tell him I am sent you." He said, tell him that I am sent you. And so there was no doubt, there was to be no doubt in Moses' mind. When he was speaking as an oracle of God, that he was there bringing a message that God wanted brought. And that was, Pharaoh, let my people go. And so, there was none greater that Moses could say sent him, but the God of heaven, thank God. And so God had a plan for Israel, and he began to fulfill that plan. Of course, you know, Moses, he felt like he had trouble with this speech, and who was it that helped him? Aaron, thank you. And so God appointed, God made a way. God provided for Moses. And the children of Israel, I was thinking about this the other day. They didn't have anything. They were slaves. They were poor. They were broke. They didn't have anything. And when it came time for them to leave, God told them, He said, Go borrow all the gold and the pots and the silver and everything that you can borrow. Bar it up and take it with you. You know, I was thinking about that the other day and how that God didn't intend for them to take all that gold that they borrowed and fashion a graven image out of it. But He did intend for them to have the gold and the silver. He purposed for that to happen. He didn't intend for them to fashion an image and worship. And I was thinking about here we are, and we have various talents and various gifts. We have knowledge. That the Lord has provided for us, but He doesn't intend for us to take our skill. You know, let's say you're a world-class musician. God doesn't intend for us to take that skill and that talent and fashion an image for us to worship. He intends for us to have it, to enjoy it, to benefit from it. He intends for, if God's blessed you financially, if God's blessed you with wisdom and knowledge, if God's provided a gift in your life, He intends for you to have it. The Bible says that every good thing comes from the Father of lights. Praise God. The good things in your life, God has provided. Just like He provided for the children of Israel, but He doesn't intend for you to, or me, I'll put it on me, He doesn't intend for me to take the things that are good in my life and fashion an image and bow down and worship in front of them. No, because He's a jealous God. And He said, thou shalt have no other gods before you. And He warned them. And, of course, you read on, you know, they were warned and warned and warned. It was like, you know, you read about Samuel when he gave his last talk to him and warning them about bowing before graven images. And it just seemed like they couldn't help themselves. And, you know, it is the nature of man to seek out something to worship. If we're not careful, we'll fashion our mind on finding something that we're proud of, something that we want to admire, something that we want to lay hold upon and say, look how great this is that we're a part of. If we're not careful, we'll find something in our life or in our friend's life or our family's life that we'll lift up higher than God. But God doesn't intend for that. He doesn't intend for us to take the good things in our life and lift them above Him. He intends for us to take the good things in our life and use those things to bless Him and to bless His people. Praise God. Oh, God, give us wisdom. Like Solomon prayed, he said, give me not riches, lest I forget thee. And he said, don't give me poor, lest I hate thee. He said, but give me wisdom, to give me knowledge to know how to go in and out among your people. My Lord, if we only knew how to go in and out among God's people. We've been at it a long time, some of us more than others. And we've done it, you know, we've done the job that the Lord has called us to do, but we all know that the Lord is calling us to do more. He's calling us to step it up, if you will. And it's intimidating. It is intimidating because, you know, it's not something that we can do, you know. Even Jesus told His disciples, He said, of my own strength I can do nothing. He said, he told them, He said, why callest thou me good? He said, know ye not that there's just one good? You know, it's humiliating for us to reduce ourselves to nothing. It's intimidating for you to reduce yourself to nothing and then to meet somebody who's so boastful and proud and full of themselves. And all they can talk about is themselves. And then you're standing there and you've reduced yourself to just lowliness. What is somebody said that meekness is not weakness. Meekness is having the strength to take the low road. It takes great strength to be meek. It takes an incredible amount of strength to take the low road, to be humble, to set yourself aside and put God first, to put your brother first. That's why charity, you know, Paul, he mentioned that. He said, he could have said, I could have all good things in the world. I could have all knowledge. I could have all power. I could have all money and have not charity. What does it profit me? Well, the end, well, you know, you say, well, if he had knowledge, that could have been very profitable. Knowledge is power. You got money, that can be very profitable. You can do a lot when you got money in your pocket. But he said, what doth it profit me? Well, it wouldn't profit you anything when it comes to life eternal. Because if you're going to trade your salvation for a few handful of coins, like Judas did, Judas traded his salvation for a bag of coins. What good did it profit him? It felt pretty valuable, I'm sure, when he negotiated that deal. I'm sure it felt like he was really getting a good deal then, you know, like he was going to have something in his pocket. But it ate at him like a canker, like a cancer. to the point where he couldn't even stand, you know. I'm sure at some point he cast it aside and then, you know, the Bible says that he took his own life. It didn't profit him very much at all, did it? And so Paul said that charity, he said charity, that's the end. That's the bond of perfectness or completeness. The love that we're to have, we lack. I don't mean to include you in that. I don't mean to include you in that in a condemning way, but it I would hope that it's obvious to us that there's a love that we lack in charity, and that we still have reservation. We still have a reluctance, if you will, to. And I'm sorry to. I'm not trying to bring condemnation on you. I'm bringing it on myself. I still have a reluctance to love like God loves, to just surrender my will, my authority, my power, my influence, and just surrender all that and say, God, whatever, lead me, Lord, and to be truly led by the Spirit of God. It remains, I heard a man say, it remains to be seen what God would do for a man who's truly led by the Spirit of God. You know, the children of Israel, I read this scripture recently. I've got it marked here. In fact, I'll read it again. Maybe I don't have it marked. See if I can remember. Well, I won't remember where it's at, but the children of Israel, God was telling the children of Israel that, man. Here it is, Exodus 16. God was speaking to Moses, Exodus 16 and 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. See, they were complaining because they didn't have any food. He said, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And in the fourth verse of Exodus 16, it said, the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you and the people, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. And of course, you know what's happened here. The children of Israel, they didn't have a Walmart, they didn't have a Kroger, they didn't have, you know, a convenience store, they didn't have any place to go buy food. And when they went into the wilderness, how are we going to eat, Moses? You know, that rock Moses smote must have been a big rock because he was standing on it. Where are we going to get our water? And so God told Moses in the fourth verse, he said, you will go out every day, gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. He boiled it all down, Brother Daniels, and basically said, your faith today is whether or not you're going to have faith that I'm going to provide bread and quail every day. You're going to have faith. I mean, he stripped it all back. I haven't worked in a sales job where my salary was based on commission. I don't know what that's like. I've always had a paycheck. And I can't even, I'm sure that some of y'all can relate a lot more to this than I could, but he stripped it back even beyond that. They didn't have anything to sell. They didn't have anything to buy. They had all the gold, but they couldn't trade for it. He reduced it all. He pulled it all back and said, look, I'm going to prove whether you're going to walk with me or not by feeding you every day. Now, I've heard stories, I've heard stories of different ones talking about how Sister Durham's got a good testimony about how that she didn't have groceries for God's people. And the Lord provided, was it a $20 bill or something like that, to help supply the need. You know, we live in a world where everything's plentiful. I passed up a meal tonight. I wasn't hungry. We live in a world where everything that we need is provided to us. There's so much available to us that it's so easy for us to just forget. We forget where our hope and our salvation lies. God's had mercy on us. There's no question we live in the land of plenty. Thank God for it. I love this country. I'm thankful that the Lord has provided for us here in the great United States of America. I truly desire that my hunger for God's word. David said, he said, let it be more than my necessary food. Make me hungry, Brother Daniels. He told the children of Israel, he told Moses, he said, they'll have to gather every day so that I can prove whether or not they'll walk with me. We're in a proving process. And it's hard, it's frustrating, it gets difficult, it's confusing. But it's faith. It's the essence of faith. Those times when you don't have the answer, those times when you find yourself in the midst of confusion, those times when there just seems like everything's absent, the clues that you're looking for, the keys that you're trying to find, they're just beyond your sight. You can't seem to grasp hold of what you need to do next. My Lord. It's God putting us in situations where we have to learn to trust Him, where we have to walk by faith, where we have to just narrow down our lives. We have to narrow down our problems. We have to narrow down our needs and say, God, whatever you would have for me today is sufficient. Oh, God. Where we rise up in the morning. I said, Lord, I'm yours. Use me as you will. I'm yours, Lord. I trust you. I'm yours, Lord. And I know that you'll provide manna and quail for me tomorrow. For my crying babies. For my hungry family. For that neighbor down there. He proved them. He put them through it. And you think, man, that's rough. They're the children of Israel. They are the children of Israel. You'd think that God would have just made them the greatest nation and would just held them up in the highest esteem. They're His children. No. They had to trust Him every day for something to eat. Every day. Every day. It's a walk of faith, isn't it? It's from glory to glory. Faith to faith. It's experiences. It's your testimony. It's your song. It's that revelation that you get. It's you. It's what makes your experience with God personal. Praise God. It's those moments, those benchmarks in your life when you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the God of heaven took the time out of His busy schedule and reached down His loving hand and touched you and moved upon your life, moved in your regard, hallelujah. When the God of heaven reached way down and separated the waters, separated the crowd, just like Jesus felt that little woman touch the skirt of His garment, and He said, I felt virtue go out. That lady drew strength out of him, thank God, and Jesus knew it. Woo! He had it to give, too. Let me tell you something. Tonight, God is going to save a people. Somebody's going to make it. He's got salvation for somebody. It might as well be for you and I. It might as well be for your loved ones. It might as well be for your children. It might as well be for your grandchildren. It might as well be for your neighbors and your co-workers. This salvation that he has, thank God. He wrote it. He wrote it down. And he set a plan in motion. Even Jesus, giving his life like he did, he knew that it was necessary. He said, I could call angels to deliver me. But he didn't. He didn't. He didn't, Brother Daniels, because he knew I needed saved. He knew I needed filled with the Holy Ghost. He knew that there was, and I'll tell you this, folks, I grew up in a church, I didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. I didn't know, I have a clue what the Holy Ghost was all about. My children, they don't know anything different. I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. But I want to tell you something, when I heard that it was a gift for me, I wanted it. Brother McGowan, I sought it. Appreciate you working on that. I sought that Holy Ghost. I needed it. You know what I've learned? I still need it. I still need it. I still need to speak in tongues. I still need to humble myself down and seek the Lord to where no matter what's going on around me, it all becomes irrelevant. It all becomes unnecessary. Vanity, if you will. I need to walk in faith. I need to pursue in faith. My Lord. I need to trust Him. Even when it doesn't, just when it seems impossible. Praise God. He's going to have salvation. He's going to have salvation for His people. He's going to have a people. The children of Israel, you'd have thought that God had forsaken them. But He hadn't. And you know, you read about like Rahab the harlot and how she hung that string up in her window. But she had heard about them. She heard about their reputation had followed them, had preceded them. Do you know that the God that we're talking about tonight has healed the blind? He has healed the lame. The God that we're talking about tonight, He has raised people from the dead. The God, His reputation has gone before us. The God that we're talking about tonight, He has fed the hungry. He has paid bills that you couldn't even begin to imagine where the money was going to come from. He's taken broken hearts, thank God, and mended them to where they could feel happy and joyful again. It takes somebody who's just wrapped up in addiction and deliver them. I mean, deliver them from addiction. Praise God, where it doesn't even bother them anymore. He's taken people that were murderers and thieves and harlots. He's taken them and He's changed their life around, thank God. He took families, children that were fatherless or homeless and touched their minds to where they could begin to understand. And next thing you know, they're having families and building homes, growing and developing like you'd expect somebody to. The God of heaven has done these things. He fed the children of Israel every day. Thank God, He brought manna and He brought quail down for them every day. Hallelujah. He provided for them. My Lord, when Gideon and his army went, and He reduced him down to 300 men. You know what the angel of the Lord said about Gideon? He said, I perceive that thou art a man of valor. You know what Gideon said about himself? He said, I'm the lowest of my father's house. Do you feel that way tonight? Maybe you feel that way tonight. Maybe you feel like that you're the smallest in your father's house. I'm going to tell you, folks, get some courage. Take courage in the God of heaven. Just like David did whenever he went and fought Goliath. He said, if God will deliver me from the lion and the bear, then what is Goliath? He's nothing to God. Tell that mountain how big your God is. Woo! Tell it! We're talking about the God of heaven, hallelujah, that's done all these things. Praise God! We are children of the Most High God. Woo! Oh, God. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Woo!
Words, Brother Painter. So touching. So touching. Oh God, I thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. What a God. What a God. Oh God. You know, I was listening to, and Brother Painter referred to it tonight, to some of the words that Brother Wright was saying on the DVD, and I thought, Lord, I don't want to miss a thing. I don't want to miss a thing that you're doing in this earth today. Whatever you're doing, Lord, include me. Include me, Lord, in what you're doing. Don't let me to miss you, Lord. Oh, God. And I thought as he was telling us that we have to give up. Have to give up. Empty out. Empty out of ourselves. And I thought, Lord, that's not a one-day venture. It's a process. But, Lord, I'm going to commit to it. As he was preaching that, I thought, Lord, I'm going to commit as much as I can, Lord. I'm going to commit to it, Lord. Whatever I can commit to it, Lord, I'm going to, by your help, grace, and mercy, oh God, going to commit to it, Lord. I don't want to be left out. I don't want to be left out, oh God. And I listened. I listened to Brother Wright, and I thought, Lord, oh God, oh God, oh God. Thank you for ears to hear, eyes to see, and a mind that can understand. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. What a God. What a God. Oh, God, as Brother Painter was talking, I could feel it. I could just feel his words. Oh, God, I wanted him to go on. Go on, get a hold of that spirit. Bring it on in. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Because I know, I know. I know, I know. That we can make it. That we can make it. He said we could go. You know, I came this way. Didn't know where I was. Didn't understand where I was. I didn't know, but I thought, Lord, this is good. I'm enjoying this, Lord. I'm enjoying this. It's good to my soul. I thought, Lord, let me hear you. Let me hear you. Years and years ago, I was thinking, I was at work one day, sitting in my car, and I was looking up toward heaven, and I said, Lord, I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what it's going to take, Lord. But if you help me, if you'd help me, Lord, I'm going to give it a shot. Oh, God. And that was years ago. And I thought, Lord, oh, God, by your help, grace, and mercy, I feel the same today. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And I know that he's been there for me. He's been there for me. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. Oh, God. But he has shown me such favor. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. I was in the doctor's office the other day, and I mean, they showed me such favor. My sister said, she said, favor is not fair. She said, but oh, it is fabulous. She could see it. I thought, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. I love you, Lord. Oh, God. I love you, Lord. Oh, God. And I desire a closer walk with you. As Brother Painter was talking, I thought, Lord, I desire to put off this nature, this old nature that I have. I'm so desiring to put it off, Lord. Day by day, here a little, there a little. By your help, grace, and mercy, Lord. Oh, God. As Brother Painter mentioned, a humbling process. You know, as I look at this and I think, okay, I need to let go here. I need to empty out right here. Right here is where I need to empty out. And as the Lord shows me, I want to get on it. I don't want to prolong it. I don't want to put it off. I want to get on it. Okay, right here. I need to empty out. I said, Lord, help me. By your help, grace, and mercy, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. Oh, God. Oh, God. He's been so good to me. My failures, he looked beyond them. Why can't I do that for others? Why can't I look beyond others' fault and see the need? I thought, Lord, if you help me, I can. If you help me, I can do it, Lord. I can make it. I can make it by your help, grace, and mercy. I can make it. I believe I can. I believe I can. Hallelujah. Oh, I love him tonight. He's my God. He's my King. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. So as we go along this road, as we walk this way, I want to know that he's there, and I believe that he is. I know that he is. He has shown me. In the middle of the night, he has shown me. I'm here. I'm here with you. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. I praise your name.
Do it with Do it without me. Oh.
The Lord. Well, my battery's about dead, but I think it'll last just long enough, maybe. It's green now. All right. I want to mention. Good to have this, our brother with us tonight. I think his name's Kerry, isn't that right? He's been here before, but sure appreciate him coming in, being in service with us. I want to make you welcome. We're looking for new members all the time to add to the kingdom of God. And this particular assembly, we're trying to affect our city in a greater way all the time. We're reaching out and wanting to do more for God. And so we appreciate you being here. I want you to feel welcome. I was thinking about today, some about the scripture in the book of Galatians where he was talking to this church. Somehow they had got influenced by the predominant religion of their nation, Judaism. And the Jews were having a hard time getting this understanding this new covenant, this new message. And they were still trying to fulfill. You know, it had to be somewhat difficult for them to. Jesus, when he walked here on earth, he was under the law. And at the same time, he was knowing that the law was going to have to be fulfilled and that the reality of what God wanted to do for mankind had to come to pass. And so he had to keep the law, the feast and the ordinances of the law, and at the same time he had to live by the Spirit. But he understood what the law, he understood the reality. The law was fulfilled in the Spirit. There isn't any law. In fact, that's a scripture. And then if you want to how does it say that? There's a scripture here in Galatians that says that in the 22nd and 23rd verse, he said that, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That sounds good, don't it? Long suffering, gentleness, goodness. We're starting to kind of feel where we might be lacking, where Brother Painter was saying we're lacking a little bit. Faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. More of these things. And then if you back up to the beginning of the fifth chapter, he's talking to these people. I can understand where the Jews were having trouble, you know, grasping, even though a lot of them were trying to take a hold of the message of Jesus, but they were still thinking, you know, we need to keep these feasts, we need to be circumcised, we need to do these ordinances. And they were having a hard time letting go of all that. It was almost like when Peter was up on the top of Simon's house and the Lord was letting a sheet down full of unclean animals and telling him to eat it. It was just hard for him to fathom that God was telling him that. It's a wonder he didn't rebuke the devil, you know, except he probably knew really who he was. And he you know, but he was having a hard time. Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing to me here? Because I've never done this. He was having a hard time grasping. Even when Paul had to rebuke him because he was withdrawing from the Gentiles, he was having a hard time sitting down with Gentiles and eating. He'd been taught all his life not to do that. And now all of a sudden, it's, you know, there's a new commandment. Love one another. Love others just like you would have them love you. Treat others like you would want to be treated. It takes God's Spirit, doesn't it? And I know almost everybody in this building knows what it's like to yield up everything over to God and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That feeling when you put Him in charge of everything and you yield everything over to Him and you make Him, you put Him first. We're not having trouble with the law or with the ordinance of Judaism, but we're having a similar problem. Trying to, you know, here's what he told them. He said, have you begun in the Spirit and you think you're going to be made perfect in the flesh by keeping these ordinances or doing all these things? And I know we as Christians, you know, when we first come to God, let me just ask y'all, everybody ask yourself this question. How long has it been since I've really been out in the Spirit? How long has it been since I really connected and didn't even know what was around me because I was lost in the Holy Ghost? If it's been too long, we need as an assembly to push for that back in our midst, to get that in our midst. You know, we make these practices of moving out, but we don't really expect much to happen when we do it. We're lacking something to get back to that place, to touching the hem of His garment. To touch Him in a way that we don't even know who else is around or what's going on, but I've connected with my Savior. That, you know, because we start out with God that way, and we have these things. Here's what happens when you get the Holy Ghost for a few days. You're the fruit of that Holy Ghost begins to shine. Love, joy. You remember the joy? I don't care if you didn't have nothing when you come to God. When you got the Holy Ghost and turned your life over to Him, you're full of joy. You know, there's just joy for you got sin. You got the load of sin off of your, and condemnation was removed. My God, it feels good not to be condemned. Get condemnation off of you. Get liberated. And then peace. Jesus said in the 7th chapter of John, it's recorded, where He said, "He that believeth in Me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." My Lord. That there's going to be a river. He was talking about receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but you can get the river dammed up. You can get things if you're not careful. Before long, you're wrestling with life rather than putting Him first and watching Him open doors and close doors and His favor and His blessings on your life. And God is the one lifting you up. You're not lifting yourself up. You're not struggling with things. You know, this body. When you come in this body, you learn something. God's people are a separated people. They're sanctified. They're set apart. You become part of a family. You find your mother, and you get connected to your mother again. You get the manna from heaven again. You know, you have to be dependent on that. It's not our natural. We're not going through the natural wilderness. But I can tell you one thing, you can go through a spiritual wilderness where you need manna from heaven. You need to realize that I need God. And you know what God did when He gave them that, you know, they got to complaining because all they was getting was that coriander seed to make enough bread for today. He's going around picking up that coriander seed and making bread for today. That's only God. He'd just give them enough for today, except on the Sabbath. The day before the Sabbath, He'd give them enough for 2 days. But they got to complaining because they wasn't getting enough meat. I don't know what. You know, they had cattle, some. They had sheep. They conquered, but God was requiring sacrifices. I guess they got to adding it up and saying, "We ain't gonna have enough meat to eat here. We're killing too many." I realize there were some of those sacrifices got to be eaten, but some of them, they got to be burned up. Oh yeah, they went through famines, but they were complaining, so God gave them quail. You know what He done? He gave them quail till it ran out their nose. They got so sick of quail, they didn't want to see another quail. They got sick to their stomach eating quail. Do you know that can happen to us? We cannot be satisfied with, you know, what God's doing for us. We want more. We get pushed back over into the flesh wanting to bless ourselves, to get, you know, plan for our future, plan our retirement, worrying about how much money we got in the bank. But when we've turned our life over to God and He was blessing us, we weren't worried about any of that. We had love, joy, 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 peace. peace. But then you get worried. You know, God put you in a family. You have to, you know, that we're a connected family. I've always taught, you get very disconnected. You get very disconnected from the family God put you in. You're headed on the way out. You're headed on the outskirts. You're going to get out here so far, God ain't going to be able to touch you in a little while. Because you got to be a part. You got to be a working part of this. God makes that. We're satisfied with that when God adds us. When God puts us in this. But in a little while, if you're not careful, you can get to wanting quail. God will give you quail till it runs till you're sick. You can get finally you're sick. You're sick of all the things that you wanted. You thought you wanted. God said, okay, you want it, I'll let you have it. Till you get so sick that you realize that wasn't so bad. You know, God may be just, you know, I mean, his, when you know, and what I'm talking about is spiritual. When God's feeding us spiritually, when we're getting what we need from Him, we're getting what we need from the Spirit and the Word of God. That quickened Word of God, that quickening of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God that's touching us. Look what he said to this church in the fifth chapter. In the first verse, he said, stand there fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith God hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Of course, he was talking about the yoke of bondage of the law, but you're coming back under a law when you start striving in your own strength for salvation or for whatever you're wanting out of life. If God's not providing it, if the Lord's not helping us and lifting us up, then we're standing on a false foundation that's going to come down. And we can get entangled. That's why we got to keep Him first. And all of us, I'm not exempt, all of us have to work. We have to, when we realize, hey, what's going on here? What's wrong? Why am I feeling God the way I have felt Him? What's lacking? Well, you remember what Jesus told wasn't it the church at Ephesus? He said, go do your first works over. You've left your first love. That's why you're where you're at, is because you're struggling with, you know, your, and I had somebody tell me today, said, well, and their life is chaotic. Their whole life is a chaotic mess. And I was talking with them. And they said, well, you know, people come up to me and they just help me. They said, don't you think God's God? I said, well, you're God's child. But I said, God, people help stray dogs. People find, you know, Brother Brett found a stray dog, picked it up and helped it. Well, there wasn't anything wrong with that. A lot of people praised Him for it. If He'd have saved if he'd have picked up a beggar on the street and got him prayed through the Holy Ghost, he wouldn't have gotten near as much attention as he did saving an old stray dog. But he's got a big heart, so he reached out to that dog. But that's what I was telling this person. I said, when your life is in chaos, God's not helping you. God's favor's not on your life. And don't just try to look for little things to think God's helping you. I said, look at examples in the kingdom of heaven. Look at people who God has taken care of. Look at people who've waited on God and let God lead them and sought God to help them with every situation that they go through in life. And look at how God's favored those people, took care of them. That's where you want your life to be. But all of us that are even living and trying to be examples and trying to be favored of God, we still have to stay on track of standing fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free. Free from, you know, wrestling with the flesh. Wrestling with our own desires. I'm We're all on the same journey. We're all pressing to reach the mark of the prize of the high calling. But I guarantee you, we aren't going to reach it if we don't reach in and touch the hem of His garment often enough to keep us on track. And I think we ought to encourage ourselves in the Lord to, you know, reach down and get a hold of Him in a greater way. I feel the need for that myself. I don't know if y'all do or not, but I feel the need. And we're going to have to press, I think, together and work on it. You know, reach out for it. Now, I will tell you this. Sometimes, you know, God does, just like the children in Israel, I mean, He did let them get. He said, I took you through this to prove you. I wanted to prove you. So He put them through hard times. He put them through some dry seasons. He put them through some famine. And God does that to churches sometimes. But I want to make sure I'm not putting myself through a famine. That's what I'm telling you. I want to make sure I'm not leaning on the arm of the flesh, but that I'm leaning on the arm of my beloved. Yes, who is this coming up out of the wilderness leaning on the arm of her beloved? Oh God, let's lean on Him. Let's depend on Him. Let's long for His help. Any time that we feel that, even when we don't feel the need, we ought to always feel it, really. Like, what was it, Brother Painter mentioned? Oh, it was Gideon when he said, I'm nobody. I'm the least of my brother. Well, that is how we need to feel. Especially when God's talking to us, you do feel small. I know there was a carryover. I think there's been a carryover from the Houston meeting in every meeting we've had this year. And let me say something to you. If you hadn't been to a meeting in several years, you're missing out on something. Because God does things in these meetings He don't do in local assemblies. And I think it's important to try to, you know, I realize sometimes it's not easy to get to, certainly not every meeting, but I think it's important for me to get to every meeting so that I can stay connected with what God is saying to the church, the body of Christ, and try to help this assembly. But in Jacksonville, we had a carryover in the open service that they had. And I'm telling you, it was good. God touched us in such a rich way. In that meeting, I felt such a need for God. And you know, I just went up. I just humbled myself. Went up and asked the brethren to pray for me. I said, just pray for me. Brother Wright said, is it your foot you want us to pray for? I said, no, I want you to pray for me to get a touch from God. I need a deeper touch from God. I'm telling you, the Lord touched me that night. And in fact, the Lord spoke to me that night. You know, I mean, it's just a few words. But it was, you know, I just thought, God, thank you for just talking to me, just saying a few words to me. He said, if you'll seek me, I'll give you the answer. And I felt like He was talking about, you know, we had a question before the ministry and that whole meeting, and I felt like He was saying, if we as a ministry would really seek God, not just, you know, go off with an idea and see if we get God, you know, to help us and let's discuss a subject, but if we as a ministry would really seek His face and ask for His help, that He'd give us the answers to some of these questions on some of these doctrines that we're trying to get together on. But I also thought, I've got questions for my own life. You know, I've got questions for this assembly. I've got questions for different people in this assembly. And I felt like, God, that what you told me fits to everything. If we'll seek His face, if we'll seek the Lord, you'll find Him. Knock, And it'll be open to you. Oh, hallelujah. So, I'm trying to spend a little bit more time talking to him, seeking God, asking him. Let's do that together. What do you say? Let's make a commitment to tell the Lord, God, I'm going to talk to you more. I'm going to seek your face for what your will is for my life, for me personally. You know, you going through anything? Some of you young people, y'all need that. Young people need to know how to seek God. Get a hold of God for their lives, because every one of you, you know, especially you teenagers, are getting up to a place where, you know, you're looking at adulthood. You're looking at a whole new phase of life. You're looking at a responsibility. What are you going to do? You know, are you going to serve God? Nobody's going to make you. You know, y'all are here. Most of you young people are here tonight because your mom and daddy said, get ready to go to church. Get in here and get your showers. Get dressed. Get ready. Or, you know, maybe you already knew to get ready, but you knew there wasn't no sense in saying, I ain't going. How would that work? Brother Joseph, would that work? That wouldn't work, would it? Probably wouldn't. You know, how would you, you know, but there's going to come a time when ain't nobody going to tell you to get ready. You're going to have to make up your mind to get ready. You're going to have to be the one. I didn't want to read these. I don't even think I will read them. Maybe I will, but I'll read them kind of fast. The works of the flesh. It's so contrary to the fruit of the Spirit. But it can kind of help you see when you're not putting God up on that high place in your heart. He's up on the front burner. I see people do that a lot. Now, I've done it, you know, where God's not, he's not, the, you know, he doesn't have the preeminence. I'm not really seeking. I'm not in real trouble. Do y'all ever get the feeling that way that, you know, I mean, you can slip till you kind of get in trouble and that's when you really start seeking God? Do you ever have the thought that, I'd like to serve him and seek him without getting in trouble. I'd like to be up on top of the mountain and still be seeking the face of God for, you know, what do you want me to do while I'm up here? You know, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? This is not all for me. You ever get the feeling that way? You know, I mean, that's how I was when I was a boy, you know. When I was enjoying the good things of life, Mom and Dad made things good for me, and I just enjoyed it. I expected them to feed me good meals. I expected to have a nice bed to sleep in. I was on top of the mountain, and I just expected it to stay that way. But I wasn't doing anything to keep it there. You know, but anyway, he says here, if you be led of the Spirit, verse 18, you're not under the law. Now, and then he makes a contrast. Let me back up to the 16th verse. It said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You ought to probably underline that. So that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, the spirit, the flesh hinders you from doing the things that you would do if you were led by the Spirit. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. You would have thought he would have said, now here's the works of the law. But, you know, the law was to put the flesh under control. So he just showing, here's the works of the flesh, which are adultery, fornication. He starts off with some pretty bad stuff. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. You can make an idol out of anything. You can idolize your job. You can idolize your car. You can idolize whatever, you know. Whatever. A gun. A knife. A boat. A motorcycle. Whatever. You can make an idol out of things. You can put it ahead of God. Witchcraft. By the way, all witchcraft. Now, I know that, you know, you might be dealing with, literally dealing with sorcery. But a form of sorcery is when you become your own God and start trying to make things happen for yourself. John called it sorcery. He, in the book of Revelations, he accused some of them churches of being guilty of sorcery and being of the synagogue of Satan, because they were practicing, you know, having their own power to accomplish their own will. I mean, that's just the beginning. That's the, you know, that's the spirit that starts it. Then hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife. There's lots of kinds of strife, isn't there? You can strive with a relationship. You can strive with many things in life. But when God frees you, when the Lord lets you begin to just wait on Him, put Him in charge, back up from fighting and you know, wrestling with whatever situation you're in, and you just begin to depend on God to help you, strife ends. It ends strife. Seditions, heresies, envying. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Well, thank God he'd give all that out first, and then he said, but here's the fruit of the Spirit. And he gave out all those wonderful things that the Holy Ghost begins to afford us. So I just thought I'd tap on to Brother Painter's message and Sister Inez and just encourage us. I just encourage myself as much as anybody else, but I do think that we need the Lord. We need Him, you know, and we need to get Him back on the front burner of our lives. I don't think any of us would say, you know, I don't need any more spirituality or no more God. But let's work on trying to tap into that Spirit and the deeper moves of the Spirit. Let's pull on heaven some more. Amen. All right, they've got food ready downstairs, and I know some of you, you know, have already been to a banquet tonight and already ate, but on Saturday nights we're going to try to help our young people to get a little bit of funds going in an account for them that'll help them on their youth trips. And I'd like to see our youth do more than what they're doing, not just going to youth meetings, but I think there's a lot of things that young people can do that would be good Christian fun and fellowship. And I want to see our young people blessed and have good Christian entertainment. And so I think we could have these Saturday nights. It'd be a good time for fellowship. And they've got just a simple menu down there. They've got barbecue sandwiches. They've got chicken fingers. Is that right? Chicken fingers, I think. And our chicken nuggets and salad and French fries, cheese fries. You can put cheese over it, or you can put ketchup on it if you don't like cheese fries. What else am I leaving out? Ice cream, either cones or... There's only one side of the ice cream machine working, but we've got the serviceman coming, so it's just vanilla, but I think they are going to have chocolate syrup and maybe some chopped nuts little, you know, something to put on it to make a little sundae if you want to in a cup, or you can put it on a cone, however you want it. And then canned sodas. Our soda machine, the deal with the soda machine, it's a good soda machine, but we don't use it enough, and therefore the syrup that's in the lines goes flat. It loses its fizz if it's not used, and then you have to run out a bunch of it until you get back to the part that's got the fizz. carbonation, yeah. And where it's not flat, where it tastes right again. So it's kind of a waste of money because you're losing a lot of syrup doing that. Now, I don't know if we used it every Saturday night, and it might be enough. I don't know. But until we find that out, we'll have Cokes, we'll have sodas in the can. And so let's support our youth and try to help them build up a little bit of a fund. I promise you this, you won't be able to go anywhere in town and eat as cheap as you can eat that downstairs. So it's a bargain on top of that. But we did structure it, I think. I hope we've got it right, where they can make a little bit of profit so they can have a little bit of funds in their account. So we think we've got it figured out where that'll happen. But anyway, let's all stand and give the Lord a praise tonight. And then let's have some fellowship downstairs and support our youth. Precious Lord, thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, oh God. Help us, oh Lord, God, to get these good messages down in our heart. Oh, Jesus, come in tomorrow morning and bless this assembly. Help us, oh God, touch us in a greater way. Oh, Lord, we're longing for your touch, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. All right, shake hands and be friendly. Yes.